sometimes they have to kill us. They have to kill us. Because they can't break our spirit.
We choose directly who we are. We know the difference between the reality of freedom and the illusion of freedom. There's a way to live with Earth and a way not to live with Earth. We choose the way of Earth. It's about power.
Well, sorry, folks.
Friends, this is your co-host, Will Bluewater. Join us now to learn how to legally worship using indigenous earth-based healing and empowering ceremonies. Aho. As Bluewater, seventh great-grandson of Old Tassel, first beloved man of the Cherokee, I'm remembering what Old Tassel said to the prevailing culture. Many proposals have been made to us to adopt your laws, your religion, your manners, and your customs. We have done so. Now it is time for our cultures to accept Old Tassel's ways and assisting us to walk in harmony with Mother Earth and Father Sky. Aho. Welcome, everybody, to another installment of Prophecy Keepers Radio, which is sponsored by Oklahoma Native American Church. Actually, we're a ministry of Oklahoma Native American Church of the White Roots of Peace. And I'm Will Bluewater, and my co-host is Mark the Badger Borchini. And our guest this evening is kind of an interesting fella. He's he goes by the moniker Nature Flow, and he's kind of a wolf spirit energy kind of a guy. And yeah, there it is. Oh yeah, there we go. That's enough of that. Anyway, if I'd have had a wolf man, I'd have put him on there. But anyway, welcome to the show, Flo. And not poking fun at your name, and it's kind of a thing. If your name's like Blue Otter, a lot of times they just call you Otter, or if your name's Ghost Wolf, they just call you Wolf. So we'll just go with the flow and call you Flo. And but I want to apologize for the info. That clip you heard at the beginning was John Trudeau, may he rest in peace, and that's from Thunderheart. And it seems like every week, you know, when he says the word, it's all about power. When he says power, I kick the button, you know, for the rest of the intro. It seems like every week it takes longer and longer. From now on, I'm just going to merge the two of them together so I don't have to click an extra button. But anyway, welcome to the program.
It's an absolute honor.
Well, we're looking forward to hearing about your travels. And Mark has got your information. I think he's ready to go to talk about your Mayan birth reading and kind of let you know why you do what you do, maybe. So what do you got, Mark?
Well, his in the traditional Mayan day count, he was born on a day 9 Eb, which the 9 has a little bit more female power to it, especially in terms of authority. Obviously, female emotional stuff, intuitive and artistic nature. So, or you could say, rather than female, you know, more right-brained, what people call right-brained energy,
right.
Artistic or abstract thinking or things like that. You could also call that kind of right brain kind of the native side of the brain, the condor side of the brain, and the left side or be kind of the eagle side of the brain. And so he's a little bit more condor-oriented, tribal-oriented, and stuff like that, and art. And probably when really gets connected in things, can have good intuitive abilities. The ebb has a lot of things. It has to do with things like free will, kind of the path or the journey of things, the pathway. So it's more kind of about that. Its direction is usually associated with the south, and this particular day occurs in the con cycle of the Vulcan. And so that may indicate a little bit more connection into the star system of the Pleiades, which comes up a lot on our show with a lot of people. Not surprisingly, it comes up in a lot of native cultures as well. Mayans, Hopi, and Cherokee, and many others have a lot of stories about the Pleiades. So he got that connection as well, it looks like. So look over at the other Zulkin now, the sixth sun Zulkin. It'll have a forward flow of time, backward flow of time, or the two time flows come together into a unity or a zero point. So we'll deal with the forward flow the way we normally look at time first. On it, his is coming back with condor energy again. And a lot about, and so this would be stuff since kind of come along with him since birth till now. And it's about the condor energy, justice, reason, equality, stuff like that are real big. Probably has been through his whole life. Probably has had potentially carried a certain element of fearlessness throughout his life, maybe, along with artistic abilities, the thing about the ebb and the journey and the path and free will. That's coming back into play here, so it's being connecting into what we saw earlier. And so we'll switch the other viewpoint now, the backward flow of time, the one that our senses cannot perceive. But people that are psychic or other things could tap into this particular time flow because it's outside of our normal range. Our senses are correlated to the forward flow of time, not the backward. So we can't sense it. So on his, it's about things that have to do with light and purification in a nutshell. So he probably would get real in tune with the whole thing with the Hopi talking about Purification Day. That probably would make a lot of sense. And also the light aspect here would connect also into the Hopi, the twins, the two twins at the poles. And it has an aspect here also of water. So it probably has an ability to work with, thought, energy, and water, which everybody does, but he may have a more than normal ability to work with those in recent years especially. And especially when it's focused on reflecting on things, contemplating, reflecting on things, going into action. So here probably in his recent years, in the last since 1997, 98 or so, somewhere in there, before or after, probably these things I'm talking about right now have had an overriding thing of taking things and moving them to action, doing something, okay? has probably become a pretty big aspect of things. Let me see if I can see a little bit more on that. That will tie in also to sun, solar energy, so stuff with he probably maybe affected a little bit more, or find himself benefiting and possibly by when we see things, action on sun and CMEs and stuff like that, may actually find that that actually makes him more, helps his artistic abilities actually to increase. And that aspect of action and stuff. May find, if he watches the sun cycle and watches that, he may find that's influencing and helping him. So are these two things come together, the condor energy and the purification light energy, these two things merging into the zero point of the two time flows, is coming up with that that con energy that we saw earlier again. And that one probably was connecting back into the star system of Pleiades as well. And probably I'll go look at the thing with the Hopi and the whole thing about corn and corn seeds and corn mother and all that stuff. Probably be a good thing for him to look at, look into, and research a little bit. Corn mother is actually given to the Hopi babies for about, if I remember right, it's 20 days. It's an ear of corn, and it's a certain kind of ear of corn with these four kernels of corn on the end form like almost like a four-leaf clover. And they give this to the babies when they're born. It stays with them for 20 days until they do another ceremony with the sun. And so that might be something that might be worth him learning and researching and looking into those things. Let me see if I can find out a little bit more about that. A lot of things connecting back again to that, the thing in the Mayan glyph of Ebb. That's coming up quite a bit, the Ebb and the Con thing. And the, both of those are southern glyphs. So the Ebb is also sometimes called a healer glyph, especially healing with stuff, herbs and stuff, you know. So that might be something that he might have some abilities with as well, or might be interested in learning about it if he hasn't already. Okay.
Oh, what do you think about that?
Wow, that was extremely accurate. I was.
Yeah, it usually is. It's amazing, isn't it?
Kind of felt like I just felt my soul was being read in that moment. Especially the part with the connection to the Pleiades. You know, that's a constellation that's seemed to follow me my whole journey. No matter where I go, the Pleiades constellation has continued to be in my field. And I have some stories on that, too. I shared them later. But and the condor, you know, always gravitated to the south. I intuitively feel that, you know, that'll be my home base, Argentina, in the future. Just instinctively and spiritually always called me those mountains in the Andes, and the connection to the feminine and intuition. The list goes on, and just all resonated. So, really, thank you for sharing that information. It just confirms, you know, a lot about the way this individual walks, and I honor that calendar. You give us a lot of insight and teachings and that horoscope. So thank you for opening that up today.
One thing you might try, my friend Robert Three Eagles introduced me to this back in 2005. And he was taught by Elder Carlos Barrios, who wrote a book in Spanish about Mayan astrology. Your Mayan birthday is going to roll around every 9 months or so, and it's an excellent time to do a vision quest. And what you want to do is Now the day begins at sunset, and what you'll want to do is you'll want to measure the time, the dark time between sunset and sunrise, and find the center of night. And you'll want to start your vision quest sometime between the center of night and sunup. Even if it's just a few hours before sunup, it's fine. The first one I did, I was told to find, basically Carlos says you need to find an area that's special to you. He called it a quintessence. And I was told to go to a place, it was about 50 miles from where I live, but it was kind of a lake, Mono Lake, in central Utah, and there's a kind of a busy industrial area. And I actually had to do it in my truck, because I just couldn't get out, and you know, so I just made a circle, four divisions in my on the passenger floor, and put the colors in the circle, lit a candle, and just kind of laid my head back. Only took a few minutes, and I was shown a dirt road that kind of led around a bend for about a half a mile, and I heard a voice say, "You have no choice." And I knew that the direction was east, and that's exactly what happened. I ended up back here in Central East Tennessee, and I had absolutely no choice. I was literally, because of electrical problems with the car, and I just happened to be near some friend's house, and that's just the way it worked out. And it's a valuable ally in your spiritual search for things, and maybe give you some directions about things you hadn't thought about doing. But well, how did you
date that that's going to come up again for him to do that on is going to be July 5th, 2016.
July 5th, okay.
Great. That was my next question.
And so think about doing that. And by the way, if there's anybody out there that would like a reading, anybody that contributes $20 or more to the broadcast, it takes about $40 a month to keep it going. Here's a little information about that. Hang on. Hi, friends. This is Will Bluewater. If you have been listening to our program for long, then you know that Mark the Badger Borcherding does a Mayan birth reading for each of our interview guests. Mark suggested that he give away a free reading for each donation of $20 or more to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a ministry of Oklahoma Native American Church or the White Roots of Peace. So please support Prophecy Keepers Radio by making your free will offering at nativeamericanchurch.us, and you'll receive this gift reading. If you choose to make a recurring donation, once you've received your own reading, you can give readings away as free gifts. So why not head over to nativeamericanchurch.us and make an offering right now. Hope to be talking with you soon. Bye now.
Okay, well, we got through the crass commercial presentation. Anyway, we'll move on. tell us about yourself and how you ended up in this crazy situation that you're in. Tell us about the spiritual board game Infinite Lights, and you know, what are you up to? What have you been up to? What are you going to be up to?
Great. Well, first off, let me say it's an absolute honor to be on this program, and I honor the work you both are doing, and thank you for sharing the medicine, you know, at this crucial time of existence where many hearts are seeking the ancient knowledge, the ancient ways, seeking to walk back on that red road. And this one is extremely grateful for that. Currently in the Great Lakes region of Ontario in Canada, I'm actually parked in my car right now overlooking Lake Ontario, which she's frozen right now, solid. It's around negative 20. It's pretty cold Celsius up here. I don't know exact temperature, but it's pretty damn cold. And
so you're up near Toronto.
I'm in Toronto, which
Toronto,
is very special.
Yeah, right.
Very special region to me is my birthplace, and I never understood my connection to Toronto until started opening up to the indigenous ways, and I realized my school that I grew up in, Sir Samuel B. Steele, was educating us all in the Pacific Northwest and the native tribes of the area, and it's amazing how the dots connect when we get that clearer sight in the future. So just paying tribute right now to be in this special place, and these Great Lakes are so special to me. I was sitting by these lakes last year and in a meditative state, and I asked the Great Lake of Ontario, what is your teaching to the children? What is your medicine? And she said, close your eyes and I'll tell you. So I closed my eyes, I relaxed, and I got this vision of a mother with breast milk coming out. And I soon realized these Great Lakes are the breast milk for all the Earth's children. And I never looked at it that way. In that moment, I opened my eyes, and the first thing I saw on the ground in the park I was at was a syringe. And I realized that, we've been disrespecting our mother so bad, and these lakes need purification and love for, water is our blood right now, and without this fresh lakes, the largest fresh lake source on planet Earth, we are not here. So just really paying respects right now to these Great Lakes of North America that many of us take for granted, but when you approach them, whether in Superior, Ontario, Huron, whatever lake you find yourself, there's this magical essence to them. And today I'm very grateful to be in front of Lake Ontario, my birthplace, my home, and carrying so much information of our ancestors' journeys, these rivers and streams. Oh, yeah, it's a wonderful time, my name is Nature Flow. My spiritual name is Karuna, which means compassion in Sanskrit, and it was given to me by my spiritual master, Dharmapa Rinpoche, who bestowed to me this name in Machu Picchu in Peru. And how I met him, that's another story. But right now, I, like many others, are in this space of intuition flowing, where we don't know what tomorrow looks like. We don't know what our next month looks like, but our heart is guiding us moment to moment. And there's a great plan unfolding right now that I and you and many of us are all partaking in. And it's the way of the heart. It's the way of spirit. It's the way of creating this new world that is birthing right before our eyes. And I tell the listeners and the audience members that, looking at the Great Lakes right now, it's solid, it's frozen, but underneath the surface, there's a lot of movement, there's a lot of flow, there's fishes swimming. And if you look at this world today, many of us are wondering, with the environmental destruction, pollution, and the list goes on, it's like, where is this new world that everyone's talking about? But the fact that this show is happening right now, this is it. This is it. We are the new world. And when I look at how it's transpiring, it's just going to grow like a seed or a fire. Looking at a fire, you don't light the biggest log first. It starts with the kindle. It starts with the little fire that lights the twigs. And the twigs light the bigger branches. And soon we'll have that big fire and all of humanity will be surrounded by it. So I'm passionate to be part of this transition. That's why many of us are here right now. That's why you're here, to transition Earth and bring back this ancient wisdom. And, it's a special time. I come I'm 31 years old, and like many, I come from an elderless generation. And elderless generation is not something to have guilt about, but it's a relearning of things in an unorthodox manner. You know, I wish I had the grandfathers and the grandmothers who could share me stories the moment I was born, but unfortunately, I was not brought up that way. You know, my family raised me in a specific way, but it was very Western. It was just to follow the lines, and many of us, we just followed the lines, and we walked what we were told, and many of us, myself included, come from the elderless generation. Now, the benefit, the beauty of this elderless generation, I want to talk about the elderless generation, because we're finding our eldership now, we're finding the elders, but in the beginning, it wasn't always like that. And the medicine of the elderless generation is we learned to really hone in intuition. We learn to really hone in the natural teachings, the elements talking to us. And it was self-journey, and it was tough, like many of us who've been there. But now we're finding the elders, and the webs are weaving again, and I'm so grateful. For example, the elements have been my greatest elders. My awakening began with walks in the woods. Before I was walking in the woods, my mind was not open to the Great Spirit's teachings. I was just lost. I was chasing the money. I was chasing the ego path. I was following paths that weren't serving Mother Earth. And I'm so grateful that we still have places on this planet where we could hear the wind and hear the silence and hear the heartbeat. And the more I started to walk in the woods, the more my mind started quiet. And the more the trees started to talk, the more the dirt started to talk, the more I could hear the animals and the birds. And they began to say, come back home, come back home. And I feel that's what many of us are doing right now. Coming back home to the mother. Coming back home to balance, which is the ancient ways and the ways of the feminine. Oh, I honor everybody here on this journey, you know. You know, it's just, it's amazing that these spirit plans are unfolding, blossoming before our very eyes. And that fragrance, aroma, is starting to seep slowly but surely into all hearts and minds, to all river flows. And I, from working with the water, for an example, the water has such a deep memory. It's storing all the molecules and songs for ancestors. And the teachings never fade. They never fade in Mother Earth. They're always there. You know, when we look at the layers of Earth, when geologists study the Earth and they look at the layers, the story is embedded in the layers. Or we look at the tree, the trunk, the story is embedded in the rings. And I'm here to say that the ancient ways will never die. They're always here. The fire is forever burning in the core of Mother Earth. The councils in Mother Earth are forever there. And I am so passionate about this. If you are listening right now, and if you, I'm sure you're already doing so, but if you're not, go connect with Mama. I know it's tough, and there are times we're all trying to survive, We're all trying to struggle. But there's so much love in the mother. She's waiting to embrace you. She's waiting to give you, all the grandchildren, all the children a hug and guide them back. So that's what I've been doing. I've been finding this red road through the silence, through the elements, and it's guiding me back to the elders. Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, sounds like you're on fire for it. That's good. You'll need that spark to carry you through the years.
Well, just sitting in front of this lake right now, I feel so charged, and we're on a full moon. La Luna is shining bright right now, and she's sustaining all of us right now, and just there's a passion. There's a passion, you know, because we want to see people happy at the end of the day. You know, I don't want to see people suffer. None of us want to see people suffer. And, you know, being on this path, first it was more about, you know, the external. It was about healing the earth, which is important, and doing your work. But soon realize, you know, we are the earth. And this awareness came when I was working with the Pachamama Alliance, which is a great organization. And if you two don't know about it, it's, or the listeners don't know, it's an organization that is bringing the indigenous wisdom from the Quechua nation in Ecuador and Peru, bringing their teachings to the Western world. Now, this backdrop of the Pachamama Alliance is the Quechua nation saw their jungles being cut. They saw the animals shifting patterns, and they realized that the change they needed was intertwined with the Western world. They needed us. So they threw that call in Dreamtime, and the founder of Pachamama Alliance was receiving these calls in Dreamtime. And it's like, who are these people? Now, through the grace of spirit and intuition, she eventually ended up meeting the Quechua nation and forming the Pachamama Alliance. So I was part of this alliance, and the first time I heard a symposium, I was blown away by the teachings. I knew in the heart that I wanted to be a part of this. So I ended up going to the training, and in the training, we came as a group, 20 of us, in Calgary, Alberta, frigid cold day, and we came as a group to heal the earth. But over that weekend, it became clear. The healing was for us. The tears were coming from our pain. The tears were coming from our sufferings, our previous lifetimes. And it became clear the way to heal the earth is to heal ourselves. We are the earth. Be a part of this glorious planet. And although it may look sometimes that we're separate because we're doing so much destruction, I know in my heart, in the heart of hearts, we are not separate. You know, we are made of the same elements that this planet is constituted of. And that's the path I'm on right now. It's healing ourselves, you know. We go so hard on ourselves in our time. There's so much pressure imposed by us in our lives. And, you know, I feel like one of the greatest things we could do in a service path is just to unhinge that pressure to all the listeners. Let them know, you know, spirit's taking care of you. It's okay. You're taken care of. You're held. We're held together. It's all going to be good. Mother's going to give us the air, the water, and that trust and faith, to re-tap in that trust and faith will do a lot of good on this planet. So I'm a born optimist, always been an optimist. Many things I don't know, many things I don't know, but the thing I've known from the moment I was born, I don't know why, it's just born in me, is this planet is going to change and transform and awaken. It was born in me, that seed, and it was born in many of us. And it's unbreakable. It's a knowing. It's a knowing. I'm here to tell you, it will happen. It will happen. It's written in spirit. It is written in the wind. It is written in the water. We came here. We planned this together. Before we incarnated, we planned this. The elders in the past saw this time. They spoke about this time in the fires, in the prophecies, in the stories. And now we are the living prophecy. The prophecy was a seed. The prophecy is a seed. And we carried that seed. And now the seed is sprouting. It's a living prophecy, and I'm just grateful to be here with you, my brothers. I'm grateful to be with you, my brothers, and grandfathers and fathers in this sacred time. And I try to be so aware and in gratitude for this time. I know it's not all sunshine. I know it's not all joy. But there's so much growth sometimes in that cycle of cracking through the egg or the seed opening or the caterpillar breaking through and becoming the butterfly. You know, Mother Earth has shown me this way of change, and this way of change is way beyond the mental constructs that just expect sunshine. But this planet is built on sunshine and darkness. It is just how this earth works. And Mother Earth is teaching us everything. So grateful to be here in this time with all of my family. All of you listening right now. It's going to be okay. You know, there might be some challenges coming up. But believe me, only beauty awaits this earth. Only beauty awaits this planet. Only beauty awaits you. I know it. That's the only thing I know. I don't know anything else other than that. Oh, so bless all you on this planet and this earth school right now. This is a tough school and takes a strong soul to survive here. Takes a strong soul to keep moving. There's gravity on this planet. You know, if you jump, you fall back down. But it's a blessing. It's a blessing. And I give thanks right now. Giving thanks for the pains that we've endured to make it to this time. And giving thanks to all our ancestors who went through all this pain. In the transition times, oh, bless you. And maybe carry your teachings, you know. Maybe carry your teachings. And may my generation learn from the elders. Not just the elementals, the grandfathers, the real time. Maybe learn from them, you know, and be humble. Because I know many in my generation can be arrogant and think they know the ways, but there's no knowing in arrogance. There's no knowing. This earth humbles us. This earth humbles us. You know, if I were to go outside right now and just stay out there for 20 minutes, I would get very cold. She humbles us. She's the teacher. She has wise wisdom for us. And I ask my brothers and sisters of my generation, start listening. And start asking questions. Talk to our grandparents. Talk to our parents. Start spending time with our families. You know, because there's so much disconnect. And it makes me emotional, this topic. Because I've had to disconnect too. In our Western world, you know, we just disconnect from our bloodline. And we go on our own path. we try to make that name for ourselves, and that's important. But don't lose that connection to your mother and your father and your uncles and your grandfather, because they're carrying so much wisdom and knowledge. And even if they didn't grow up the average way, they have stories that can instill a lot of wisdom in us. Right now I'm in Toronto with my family, and it's just, it's so beautiful. It's so beautiful to spend time with my dad and my mother and learn about their stories. My parents are both from India, and I learned the ways they brought up, sometimes having no food, sometimes, not having much in front of them. And while I talk about this, a raccoon has appeared in front of us. A raccoon's right in front of me right now, searching for food. So I honor the raccoon spirits that are making themselves known on this broadcast. Hello, friend. Blessings. Oh, yeah, we have a ways to go. But going back to that, I'm just kind of caught up in that raccoon energy.
Oh, yeah.
Do anything from meaning?
There he is. Yeah, that's that raccoon. They can be pretty scary. I know back in the 80s, my brother lived on an island off the coast of Seattle. Actually, it was the island that Seattle was founded on. And we were sitting around watching TV, and all of a sudden I hear this, it sounded like a mountain lion. And my wife and I froze, and I looked over at my brother and sister-in-law, and they very nonchalantly got up and grabbed a bag of cat food, walked over and opened up a drapes that led onto a little balcony. And here was like 16 raccoons out there, three or four mamas, a dozen little babies, and presided over by this great big giant papa raccoon. He had apparently got into it with a large animal, maybe a mountain lion, because he had a huge scar across one of his eyes. And but that was fun. That's what they sound like when they want to let you know, okay, I'm here. Don't mess with me. Just feed me. Yeah, they're pretty cool.
Wow, it's actually a large one.
Before you were reborn, what was your situation? What did you struggle with, and how did you find this path, or were you just always on it, or how did it happen?
Well, growing up, I was on the typical path, the ingrained path, and I had a desire to start a business out of college. So I was actually running a men's dress shirt company for a couple years, and it was a wonderful experience. But an awakening occurred, and many small awakenings, but there was a very large awakening, and it actually happened in Toronto, where I was working with the medicine of marijuana in liquid form. I was downtown, and I ended up drinking a smoothie filled with marijuana, and I honor it as a medicine. I think it's stigmatized, but at the end of the day, it's a plant. And that day was a large gathering in downtown Toronto. It was a night festival called Nuit Blanche, where thousands come downtown and they explore the buildings, the vacant buildings that would never be open at night. So many people come, and they're abandoned subways that are open to the public, etc.
Wow.
And that particular night, I felt the medicine really strong. It was activating. And I had a friend with me. Her name is Andrea, and she writes poetry. And for the last 3 months, I was asking her, can you please tell me your poetry? Every day, I would ask her. And every day she would tell me, I'm shy. I don't want to tell you. I'm nervous. So I kind of stopped asking her after a while. That particular night, I'm with her. And I had an intuition, thought, just ask her for one sentence. Just ask her for one sentence. So I asked her, can you tell me one sentence of your poem? You don't tell me the whole thing. And the first line was, we are forever connected. And on the moment she mentioned those words, I'll never forget it, I was in an intersection with four lanes in each direction, crowded traffic, cars everywhere. All the sidewalks were covered with people, and she said, we are forever connected. And in that moment, I felt the entire intersection. I felt the energy of everything. Everything just merged into one sort of energy field. And I started to hear people's thoughts that day. My psychic ability started to awaken. My heart started to awaken. And on that particular night, I became the person who I always wanted to be in my mind. I was that successful business person. I just felt confident. I felt everything that I was programming myself and society was programming myself. And I noticed one thing. I noticed I was not a nice person. I noticed I was rude to people that night. And I started to question, something's wrong. This is not what I'm trying to strive for. I'm not trying to become this rude, arrogant person. And I knew I was on the wrong path that night. So I ended up going to, shortly after, I ended up going to a 10-day of Vipassana. They have these Vipassana centers all over the world, and you could meditate for 10 days in silence. And they give you vegetarian food, and it's by donation. And I was running a business at the time, but the pain was unbearable from not following my heart. And I just knew instinctively I had to go to this retreat. So I ended up going to this retreat for 10 days. And, you know, sitting in silence for 10 days is not the easiest thing. The mind, wild. You really get to experience the animal of the mind when you're in silence for 10 days. So, despite all that, something magical started to happen. The heart really started to expand in those days. And my brain, if the mind is a computer, my programs started to be erased. All the programs I was brought up with, like chase the money, money is happiness, you name it, and my hard drive got erased. It was like completely wiped. I was very committed in those 10 days. You know, I saw the results of my other friends, and I just had this deep trust to go deep and give it, just put all my effort. And after that retreat, you know, with a clean hard drive, I started to look at the world a lot differently with all those programs all the way. And the first thing that became clear is, you're here to serve Mother Earth. You're here to serve the planet. You're here to be of service. And what you're doing right now with this business, it's serving the ego of humanity. You know, all the marketing and everything I was doing was ego-based, and I knew I needed to make a shift. So that was the beginning of it, and ended up going to Vancouver, Canada, moving from Toronto to Vancouver, Canada, and just the earth spirits in Vancouver, Canada are incredible, just simply incredible. The mountain spirits in particular. If you haven't been to Vancouver, it's surrounded by mountains. And there's like this protection energy over that city. It's a very special place where people like Eckhart Tolle, who wrote the famous book, The Power of Now, he ended up being awakened in Vancouver. So I find that many people who are on the verge of really deep awakening get gravitated to Vancouver, Canada, and the Pacific Northwest is that's another story. But, you know, after, so just going back to the story, after the retreat, just dropped the society path and walked on the heart path. And when I got to Vancouver, you know, low on money, not sure what to do. And it's interesting, spirit always gives crossroads. You know, I can't speak on behalf of all of us, but in my life, it's always two options. And I was looking for a job, had low money, and two jobs presented themselves. The first job was, you know, working as a travel agent and picking up phone calls all day and booking tickets. And it was good money, for, at least for me, per year. And the other job was going door to door with Greenpeace and educating people on the environment. So there I was, and that was around $8 an hour. So there I was at this crossroads, and, you know, spirit was testing me again. And I wasn't sure what to do, you know. You know, even if I know, sometimes you get interference still. And I was contemplating which job do I pick. So I decided to go to the inlet in Vancouver and just meditate by the water. The water is always my spot to get clarity. And I'm meditating by the water on what path to take. And in that very moment of contemplation, a seal sticks its head out of the water right by me, looks me directly in the eye with a gaze for around 5 seconds, goes back in. And tears started to calm down from my eye. And I knew the path, the job I had to take in that moment was to talk to people about the environment and continue this heart work. So that led to that. And that was an incredible experience. And, you know, going door to door, it was challenging, you know, because you expect most people to, like, really, like, have a concern for the environment. And the reality in my experience was, at least my experience at that time, was 95% of people didn't give a damn. And that could be disheartening. You know, but that's not the medicine of the experience. The medicine from that experience was when you go to the 5%, when you went to those doors where people were passionate about the environment and they wanted to make a difference, you know the earth could be saved. And that's what I learned from that job was it just takes one person to make a difference. It really does. These people who are stepping up on the front lines are these souls who are embarking on these big things, whether it's, you know, speaking truth or talking the stories of the ancestors or creating technology to heal the earth. These souls are powerful. And when you met these 5%, you know their energy could heal all the 95%. So spirit works in very mysterious ways sometimes. And, you know, these percentages are going up in the greater context right now. But that was just a valuable lesson, and it just left me with inspiration and faith and motivation that earth will always be safe when we have these people around. Oh, so yeah. So after that experience in Vancouver, I ended up traveling to, that's when I began my global travels. And I called them spirit travels, where it normally begins, these spirit travels, with an intuition, sign. Normally, it would just be like, huh, the certain particular region of the world is calling me. And I know this happens to many people. It's like, why do I keep thinking about this particular country? Or why do people keep mentioning it? And that's how I normally travel. It starts with these synchronicities where, okay, you got to go. So the South was calling me. You know, the land of the Condor was calling me. Working with Pachamama Alliance, I knew I had to work with the Condor. It was just strong. So it started the trip with a journey down the whole Pacific Coast to San Diego first. Then I went back to Vancouver, and I had my previous partner. We ended up driving into Mexico from Vancouver. And before we went to Mexico, everyone warned us, don't go. Don't go over there. There's drug war going on. You're crazy. Maybe 30 people at least told me don't go. And I know the power of faith and the law of attraction always work. And I told every single one of those people, I'm going to show you the power of thinking positive, the power of trusting spirit and being guided. And despite all that advice not to go, we ended up going. And in that time, just magic. Absolute magic. And that's where I was guided to my spiritual teacher, Dharmapa Rinpoche, who lives in central Mexico. And, you know, he's my spiritual master. I call him a spiritual master. And I didn't understand what a master was. I read about masters in books. I read about masters in autobiography of a yogi. But I didn't know what a master was until I met him. And a master, to me, is a human that has transcended individual consciousness and can tap into unity consciousness. And in a state of unity consciousness, you could tap into everything. It's just like being connected, your mind connected to the internet. And any question can be answered. So we ended up going to his house in Mexico. And crazy things started happening, just wild stuff that, you know, most people would be in disbelief that it actually happened. But the first day I got there to meet him, he looked me in the eye and he said, do you remember a lifetime from Greece in Troy? And I'm thinking, this guy's crazy.
Next thing he's going to tell you, I had a Trojan horse.
By the way, there are two raccoons now in front of me.
Oh, wow.
They're coming. So, anyway, so he asked me that question. I had no recollection. And I wasn't really sure what he was talking about. But I ended up staying on his property the next couple of days. And strange things started happening. I started getting teachings in dream time. I started meeting him every night I fell asleep in dream time. And he was conscious as day. And I was just getting the tidbits, you know, like every now and then I'd get a memory. And I'd wake up with these experiences like I just came out of a classroom. And I'm wondering, what the heck just happened, you know? And why every time I close my eyes, I'm seeing this being in my vision. So the morning would start, we'd do our meditation practice, sit down for breakfast, and without me saying a word, he would ask me questions from what happened in dreams. He'd be like, remember when I told you this? Remember when I told you that? And I'm like, I don't even remember half this stuff, because I was in a dream. It was just, you know, faint memory. But I knew something magical was happening here, and I was with a really evolved soul. And, you know, we're all part of that connection, but I ended up meeting him in Mexico and just been on a journey since traveling with him. And one thing I like about this particular individual, Dharmapa, you won't hear about him. He's kind of underground. He's not here to be famous. But one thing, he got me the first day I heard him talk. Because I forgot to mention, I first met him in San Diego. He did a speech, and he invited me when he come to Mexico, because I was planning to come to Mexico, to come to his place. So in San Diego, when I first heard him talk, he said one thing that jumped out at me. And he said, the Buddha has been teaching. His teachings have been here for 5,000 years. But the way of the indigenous people has been here for hundreds of thousands of years. And I'm fusing all of this together. And that was like gold to my heart, because the Buddhist path, I don't identify myself as a Buddhist, but I'm open to that teachings. And many teachers I saw were not mentioning the indigenous teachings. And I knew I found a universal teacher that day in San Diego. So I ended up meeting Dharmapa, and man, crazy stuff started happening. Like, just like, stuff's not real. We ended up going to Pascuala, which is a pyramids, Aztec pyramids, around an hour away from his house. His town was Penjamo, Mexico, which is around an hour away from Irapuato, if anyone knows about that region. And we ended up going to the Aztec pyramids. And in the Aztec pyramids, he made us gather. We were with a group of eight of us, it seemed. Eight of us, and with my ex-partner. And there's this large marble slab in between the Aztec pyramids, and it was roped off. And he told everybody to find their position around the marble slab. Just go to the place on the marble slab that most pulls your attention. So he was on one end, and I got called to, I don't know the directions it was at, but I got called to the right hand side, kind of diagonal from him. And he asked me, are you sure you're in the right place? In my heart, I thought I was supposed to stand beside him. But my mind was telling me to stand in that spot for whatever reason. So I ended up standing in that spot. And when we started praying, I ended up having this large energetic sort of twitch, like vibrations shook through my body. And that made my glasses fly off my head. And in midair, they broke. In midair, they broke and ended up on the ground in two pieces. I don't know how that happened in midair. And as soon as they hit the ground, I got a message. Always see with your heart, not with your eyes. And, oh, that was a great teaching, you know, because when I was there in that spot, I was seeing where my eyes were to go. But the heart sometimes moves beyond the vision. And yeah, so he ended up doing a medicine plant course with us over the next couple of days. And, you know, they're working together with music now. So he's a great teacher for me. And one of his teachings is infuse the spirit with the modern day. You know, instead of separating them, let's join them together. Let's work together. And that's became my life mission right now, to fuse compassion with creativity. And after 7 years of not running a business and traveling for all that time and getting the teachings and, you know, hopefully becoming a better person, I've come back to that now and, you know, more balanced. And that's where the game you mentioned in the beginning, Infinite Lights, created a spiritual sort of board game for families and friends to connect to compassion, self-love, kindness, giving, and the teachings of the ancestors, whether indigenous ancestors or Buddha or modern day people, and just connect people to wisdom and medicine. So I created this amazing game called Infinite Lights. I really hope it could be of service to humanity, and I'm going to be receiving that product soon. It's coming. So I know I'm jumping a lot, but it's just, there's so much connected.
It's okay.
At the moment. And this game Infinite Lights is something I hope the listeners could play. It's from my company called Now Age Imaginations. Now Age Imaginations. You can go to nowageimaginations.com, and we're going to be giving away a couple free copies if you're interested. And, you know, that's what we're doing right now. That's the work of the Rainbow Children.
There's a link right on the interview page, and also one to your YouTube channel.
Oh, thank you. I really appreciate that. So, yeah, it's been a ride, and I've been on this journey of spirit travel for the last 5 years now, and it's been incredible, and it's led me to all over Mexico. It's led me to Peru, Argentina, Chile, Bolivia, India, China, Costa Rica, Nicaragua, and it's been incredible. And right now I'm in a time of rooting. I don't really want to travel as much as I pass. But if you're a listener and your heart's calling you, or you keep getting synchronicities, I say take that risk and just take that first step up the staircase, even if you can't see the other steps, and magic will unfold. And I called it a trip of faith. All those trips were trips of faith. And how it worked was, you enter a place with relatively, you don't research. You just know you need to go somewhere. You listen to the spirit in meditation, and you get guided to places, and a story starts to unfold. You end up meeting the right people at the right place, and you'll be completely shocked. You'll be completely shocked how powerful the intuition is. It's amazing. And I'm here to inspire intuition. I'm here to inspire intuitive travel, intuitive living. And it's simple to use your intuition. And I could give some exercises right now to the listeners. You could do in a moment or when you get the free time. For example, if you drive to work, and you take a specific route every day, the next time you do that, ask your intuition, guide me to wherever I need to go. So you'll be driving now, and your intuition will be say, make a left on the street that you've never turned on before, and you'll notice your mind go, what are you doing? You'll notice your mind jump in and try to, you know, blockade this new path. It's kind of a metaphor for a new path opening up in your mind. But if you could just do this and, you know, start trusting it, magic will happen. So that's how I started building my intuition. I would be driving, and I'd be like, spirit, guide me to wherever I need to go in this moment. And it would take me to magical places. It would take me to these natural parks I never knew existed. Or it might just take you to something you need to see or an experience you need to have. But I invite you, start using your intuition for everything. Another way you can use your intuition is next time you go to a restaurant and you have the menu in front of you, ask your intuition, ask spirit, guide me to the most healthiest or happiest meal that is or food I need in this moment. And you'll watch how you'll just start, a trance will kind of take place. And something will just pop up on the menu. There will be no thinking involved. It was just like, boom, I need to get that particular dish. And I've been doing that for the last 4 years. And I never get a bad dish now. It's just always accurate. And these are the little things, but if you start with the little things, it's amazing how it will lead to big things of your life when you make the big decisions. Or I need to make that career change, or I need to move houses, or maybe I need to stay still. Whatever it is, the intuition is magical. And, you know, logic takes you from A to B. Intuition takes you from A to infinity. It's really special. And this is how this entire game was created. It was created by intuition. You know, I don't even know how it happened, but within 3.5 weeks, this 164 exercises and activities and questions to inspire, open your heart, and bring out giving, kindness within you was created. This game was created, and it just happened in a blank sort of state. It's a channel. So I like to say this product's a co-creation. You know, it's a co-creation with spirit, universe. I was just an empty channel, and magic ensued. So don't ever give up on the magic. The magic's there, and I hope you all continue to, you know, live that magic. Live that magic through intuition and inspiration. So that's all I got to say on that.
Yep.
Fantastic. Hey, Mark, I think I've been misinforming people, at least I did this time. Does the day start at when you're planning your Mayan Vision Quest? Does the day start at sunrise or sunset?
Well, typically, what they look at is different people kind of still even have different ideas about that. But typically, what I've looked at most of the time is that you look at were they born after sunset.
Oh, okay. So I did have it right. Okay.
Well, if you look, well, people kind of do it both ways, but, you know, a lot of the older cultures, that's why they called it evening. It's the eve. And so, you know, from that, the standpoint is the evening from sundown, that's essentially when you're going into the darkness, into the womb that's giving birth for the next morning, the next sun. So,
right.
I think that's the way the majority, there are other people look at it the other way, but I think that's the way it's normally looked at.
Right. Yeah, I just it just occurred to me folks might want to, in order to plan on your next upcoming date for your vision quest, I made a tinyurl, tinyurl.com/Mayan Vision Quest. And that gives you your next or previous Jolkin position, so you know when to apply. My next one is coming up on the 28th of February, and it's way past time for me to stand out and go up on the hill and or wherever it is. And but it's easy to remember, tinyurl.com/MayanVisionQuest, and I posted that up on your webpage too. But Well, you know what? You know, as you know, when you're 16, you think you're going to live forever, and when you're 30, 31, like you are, you think that you've got a lot of years left. But let me tell you, I'm 61 now, and I'm going, wow, where did it all go? And you start wondering, you know, I guess one of the burdens of being an elder, you know, some might, you know, worry about the next generation carrying on, but never ceases to amaze me. There's no dearth of young teachers coming up, and you know, we salute you, and we encourage other people to do what you've done, either on the scale that you did it or whatever scale they can do it on. And some people got more guts. You had more guts than I did. But I was pretty much married with a little kid when I kind of started all this out anyway, and it came as part of the package. But We appreciate you. We appreciate you coming on.
I think it's the raccoon totem.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah, it could be. Little devils. When did this all start with you? When you drop your shirt company? How many years?
Ooh, it's 2007. So eight years ago now.
Okay, so I imagine by now your parents have seen the good sense of what you did, but I'll bet they went ballistic.
Oh yeah.
And especially being from that culture coming over here, and you know, with the 800 million people that lived in their country, and it was shortages of everything, and a lot of poor, and I grew up in a family. I mean, my dad's parents were both immigrants, and their life really revolved around money. They didn't make a lot, but it pervaded everything that they did. Not that they were necessarily greedy, but, you know, Mom kind of felt that all the beautiful things she bought, you know, gave her spirituality, and they just didn't get it. And, don't do what I did. I mean, I just completely thought, oh, I'm just going to go be a monk and I don't want anything to do with money. And I mean, that's pretty hard to do. You struck a balance, and you're doing something that has to do. It's not money that's the root of all evil. It's the love of money. And, I'm glad you're doing something that you're reinvesting back and doing it in a good way but don't be too stupid about money. It's tough to live without it. I mean, it can be done. I mean, I heard of people that live for years without eating or drinking, most of us have to find some kind of happy medium, Sounds like you're doing it.
Trying my best.
Well, we appreciate you. We'll, Mark, you got any thoughts before we go?
Well, there's one thing for him that kind of came back. Kent popped in my head earlier, so probably it's not a good time to bring it up. And that it has to do with the Pleiades and the whole path thing, and that is, and maybe on this next thing coming up here, or actually any time it can do it. But one of the things you can do is all of the stars are connected, kind of like the internet of the universe. You can kind of look at it as like fiber optic network of the galaxy or whatever. So, and one of the things you can do is you can connect from Earth into our sun. And then our sun is going to connect into the Pleiadian system. And so you can actually travel that way. And so that's one thing for you to, maybe contemplate and work with. The other one is Edgar Cayce mentioned both the Arcturian star system and the Pleiadian star system as being connected in orbital paths with our solar system. So our solar system and both the Pleiadian and the Arcturian system are connected in an orbit. So in a sense, our star system and the Pleiadian and Arcturian star system are kind of a little bit more on a family connect relation or spiral system. So those are two things, I had to share with you maybe about that connect back to what you're saying about the Pleiades and stuff and what we were talking about earlier.
Well, thank you. Oh, absolutely.
I appreciate that.
Well, appreciate you. We'll wish everybody, hope you have a good week. Stay warm. Don't shovel snow too fast. And we got lucky here. I guess we had about 6 inches on the ground total after it was all over here this weekend. And that's not bad. Tennessee, even though we're kind of up in the mountains, a lot of people don't know that the mountains actually mitigate snowfall and wind, and like the high valleys and out in the Rockies, they actually the winters are a lot milder than they are, say, on the Great Plains, and pretty nice places to live. But we'll let you guys go, and we'll spin the outro music. Man, thanks everybody, and we'll see you next week. Good night.
Thank Join you. Us to learn how to legally worship using indigenous earth-based healing and empowering ceremonies. Friends, this is your co-host, Will Blue Otter. Join us now to learn how to legally worship using indigenous earth-based healing and empowering ceremonies. Aho. Wale wachie, a te lo makia yo ya nam hene, a te na me chiho ya nam hene yo wa, a shia che che che. As Blue Otter, seventh great-grandson of Old Tassel, first beloved man of the Cherokee, I'm remembering what Old Tassel said to the prevailing culture. Many proposals have been made to us to adopt your laws, your religion, your manners, and your customs. We have done so. Now it is time for our cultures to accept Old Tassel's ways and assisting us to walk in harmony with Mother Earth and Father Sky. Aho.
Remember who I am.